Grace, mercy, and peace, these blessings and many more are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from the Old Testament lesson from Micah chapter 7. Dear fellow children of a merciful God, if I would offer you an open Bible quiz this morning, and this was the first question. First question is, use your Bible and find three examples of God's anger. Where would you look first? In the pages of the Old Testament, or would you turn to the New Testament? Examples of God's anger, you have a catastrophic flood. You had in Genesis, you had God driving Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden for their own good, but also as a consequence. Fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, the angel of the Lord passing over Egypt and so many firstborn dying, the walls of Jericho falling. Or would you go to the New Testament for examples of God's anger? You have Jesus cleansing the temple. You have Jesus calling out the Pharisees and Sadducees as a brood of vipers, but I'm not sure that the intensity compares to that of so many of the stories of the Old Testament. When I was a child, I think I made the mistake of stereotyping the Old Testament as all law and bad news, examples of God's anger and stories with horrific consequences, and lots of you shalls and you shall nots. And the New Testament, well, that's where you had Jesus, and that was the good news. And as a result, I think too often I missed some of the beautiful passages of gospel comfort that God gives us in the 39 books of the Old Testament. We have one of those in front of us this morning from the book of Micah. And our theme this morning is rejoice in God's promise of forgiveness. And Micah will point out three things. First of all, God's promise is unfathomable. Micah lived 700 years before Jesus was born. Contemporary of Isaiah, like Isaiah, he ministered. His ministry was in the southern kingdom, but he was more of a rural prophet, pastor, smaller towns. Some call him the prophet of the poor. Living in a time of political instability, of moral corruption and decay, a time when there were some who enjoyed great wealth and some who lived in great need, in a time of social injustice. Might sound familiar in 2020. And Micah's message was one of warning of God's impending judgment, and then one of comfort of the coming salvation through the Messiah. The people of southern Judah would experience a consequence for their rebellion and rejection, but then Micah says, unbelievably, God is going to forgive them. And that leads us to the first verse of our text. Micah asks, who is a God like you? He's talking to God. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? One of the easiest rhetorical questions in the Bible, isn't it? Who is a God like you, God? No one. Not Allah, not Buddha, not Baal, not Brahman. No God that man has invented can compare to our God, the only God, the true God, in so many ways. Our God of creation, our God of omnipotence, our God of miracles, our God of providence, caring for you and me every day. But that's not where Micah's focus is. Micah's focus is very specific. Who is a God like you, he says, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of his people? He says, you do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. You do not stay angry forever. Lots of examples, especially in the Old Testament, of God's anger. But when you consider God's anger, recognize this. God's anger is not like your anger or my anger. God's anger is always justified. Our anger tends to be too often a matter of selfish pride or hurt feelings or the idiot behind the wheel of the car in front of me, or the idiot behind the wheel of the car I'm driving, our anger, our rage also is different, because our anger tends to ebb and flow and blow hot and cold. And we have learned for good reason that when I get angry at somebody, rather than just go off on them, I will take a deep breath and count to 10, whether you can see my lips move or not. And you do the same thing. God's justifiable anger at sin, God is a just God. God doesn't look at sin, take a deep breath, and say, all right, I'll pretend that didn't happen. God's anger at sin never ends. So then how in the world can Micah say, you do not stay angry forever? You know the answer. If I asked you a second question on that open Bible quiz and said, tell me where here in the Bible do you find the greatest example, the most frightening example, the most horrific example of God's anger, God's wrath? It would not be in the pages of the Old Testament. It would be on a dark, desolate hill outside Jerusalem called Calvary, when God moved his anger at my sin, at your sin, and he unleashed all of that anger on who? Question number three. Easy question, but for full credit, don't say Jesus. Because it was Jesus, but that impersonalizes it for God. He unleashed all of his anger on his son, his only son, his beloved son. And here's what's unfathomable about that promise of forgiveness. Micah says, God delights to show mercy. What does delight mean? You delight in something means you find joy in something. God found such joy in forgiving us, and what's unfathomable is his joy in forgiving me and you was not canceled by the fact that he had to target Jesus, his son, with all of his wrath. He knew that, but he still found delight, delight in forgiving you for your sins. That's what makes no sense. One of my favorite passages from the book of Isaiah, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are your ways, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What makes this so meaningful and applicable this morning is the context. Context is everything, right? When God said in Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, he wasn't saying, listen, my thoughts when it comes to the economy are not your thoughts. We'll get through this. He wasn't saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts when somebody that you love struggles with their health or dies. Those things are true too, but the context in the verses before this, Isaiah said, let the wicked turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. He will freely pardon. And then the people would have said, but that makes no sense. And God says, no, but my thoughts aren't your thoughts. Rejoice in God's promise of forgiveness. It's a promise that's unfathomable. It's a promise that's unconditional. Micah says, you will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea. He says, God will again, over and over again, have compassion on you. Yes, you will suffer. You will shed tears of regret and grief. But God will again forgive you and hurl, violently throw everyone, not just most, not some, all of your sins, where? Into the depths of the sea. Not a shallow pond, not a lake, not a river, but the depths of the ocean itself. God knows that we crave not just the words, you are forgiven, but we crave something to cling to hang on to to describe the totality of God's forgiveness. And so God paints pictures for us that help us understand. It's not just children that like word pictures. If you have been a parent, grandparent, or a child in the last 20 years, I'm guessing you might be familiar with this book, Guess How Much I Love You. It was one of the favorite books I would read to my children when they were little and now grandchildren. Guess How Much I Love You, and little nut brown hair in this book wants to tell big nut brown hair, guess how much I love you, this much. And big nut brown hair says, well, I love you this much, because he has wider arms. As high as I can jump, no, as high as I can jump. And if you know the story, you know that little nut brown hair wasn't so focused on telling big nut brown hair how much he loved him. He wanted to hear back how much big nut brown hair loved him. And the very last page, how does it go? I love you all the way to the moon. And he falls asleep in big nut brown hair's arms. And big nut brown hair says, I love you all the way to the moon and back. A children's story. This is not a children's story. But God paints such beautiful pictures for how much he loves us. And he gives us the extremes, the contrasts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. The east and west never meet. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they will become like wool. And the verse in our text, God hurls all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Such an unconditional promise with no strings attached. It's a promise that Micah gave us 2,700 years ago, and God hasn't put any asterisks on that promise. Not only does God promise to take each one of our sins away, but to bury them in the depths of the ocean. But now maybe there's a question that nags some or more than some of you this morning. And that would be this. If my sins have been cast into the very depths of the sea, then why do they resurface and still bother me? Two possibilities. One is because perhaps the sin of 5 years ago is also a sin of 4 years ago and 4 weeks ago and 4 days ago. And so that first sin was cast into the depths of the sea, but now it's a recurring sin that plagues my conscience. God's promise? Micah would say, but God takes those recurring sins and hurls them into the sea. And then God promises to give you the strength to walk away from those temptations. Or maybe more likely, this is the issue. Those sins were buried in the depths of the sea, but it is your conscience and it is Satan's lies that keep reeling them back to the surface. And you can't let go of the guilt and shame, even if others have said you are forgiven. Then what do you need to do? Maybe take a page from Martin Luther and one of his more famous quotes. When the devil throws your sins in your face and declares that you deserve death and hell, tell him this: I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction in my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God, and where he is, there I shall be also. What could make Luther so confident? Why can you be so confident? Because God's promise is not just unfathomable, it's not just unconditional. His promise of forgiveness is unbreakable. Micah says, you, Lord, you will be faithful to Jacob and show love to Abraham as you pledged on oath to our ancestors long ago. God never changed his mind about the promise he had made to Abraham. Even though Abraham lied more than once, even though Abraham took matters into his own hands and slept with Hagar, even though Abraham rode that same roller coaster of strong faith, weak faith that we so often find ourselves on, God never broke his promise to Jacob, the deceiver, even though Jacob was convinced he needed to help God to accomplish God's plan for Jacob's life. God never broke those promises because God never breaks promises. Where can you find comfort in the pages of the Old Testament? You listen to God's promise to Abraham that he would have a son when he was 100 years old, and that's not God's promise to you, but his God's promise to you is that from that son Isaac came the Son of God that guarantees you a home in heaven. God's promise to Jacob that all nations be blessed through him. You are enjoying those blessings. God's promise that the angel of the Lord would pass over all of those door frames sprinkled with blood. And you hear God's promise that because you are sprinkled with the blood of Christ, God's hand of judgment and anger at sin will pass over you. Guess how much God loves you? Today, climb up onto God's lap and let him read his story for you. And page after page, listen to God's promises to you, how much he loves you. And go with him into a lion's den and watch as he shuts the mouths of those lions and promises to shut the mouth of the dangers that face you. Listen to God promise the Israelites, you need only to be still because I will fight for you. And know that God will deliver you, has delivered you from the bondage of sin. Listen to God promise the Israelites, I will provide for you during 40 years of rebellious wandering. And hear God's promise that he will provide for you for 40 or 60 or 80 years of your journey here on earth. Guess how much God loves you? You can go home today and you can read from Genesis to Revelation. And you know what? Never once will you hear God ask you, guess how much I love you. God doesn't ask you that. God shows you that. God shows you that by nailing his son to a cross. And then God tells you that story, your story, a story that began before Genesis 1 when God said, let there be light, and continues through all of the pages of the Old and New Testament. Your story. Your story that ends in heaven when God says, well done, good and faithful servant. But that just begins the next chapter of a story that will never end. Don't guess how much God loves you. Know how much God loves you. And then thank God that he has made his story your story. Amen. Please rise.
Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith. To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Manav, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.